Parenting doesn't come with a manual, and when your child learns differently, there's no one size fits all. Here, we think out the box. We celebrate every unique mind, every different path, and every win, big or small. Welcome to Out the Box, where kids and parents grow together.
Good morning, and welcome to Out the Box on Hi FM 101.9. For minds that don't fit the mold and hearts that keep striving. Today, we're going to be stepping into a space where education goes beyond the textbooks, where history becomes personal, where identity takes shape, and where children don't just learn, but they understand. We're stepping into the South African Jewish Museum. The museum is not just a building. It holds the stories, the memories, and voices that should not be forgotten. The South African Jewish Museum is a place that does not just preserve history, but helps educate Jewish and non-Jewish visitors from South Africa and all over the world. The South African Jewish Museum began as a vision to preserve and share the story of Jewish life in South Africa, not just as history, but as part of the country's broader identity. The idea was spearheaded by Mendel Kaplan and the Kaplan-Kushlik family. The museum is the only family-funded museum in South Africa. A team of international museum experts was created to shape its design and educational focus. Their goal was to create a modern, world-class museum that would both document the past and educate future generations. After years and years of planning and development, the museum officially opened on the 13th of December 2000 in Cape Town, on what is now known as the Museum Mile. From the start, it was designed to be more than just a collection of artifacts. It was built as an interactive educational space, using storytelling, exhibitions, and programs to explore themes like migration, identity, resilience, and contribution. Mendel lived by the mantra from Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Seek the welfare of the country in which you live, for in its welfare lies your welfare. This mantra captured the deeper purpose of don't see yourself as separate from the country that you live in. Your well-being is connected to the well-being of the society around you. And when you contribute positively through kindness and fairness and responsibility, you help create a much better country for everyone, including yourself. And placing the Jewish story within the wider South African narrative. I believe that this mantra reflects on how the Jewish community in South Africa didn't just preserve their own identity. They contributed to South Africa's growth, justice, and development. I'm so privileged and honored to tell you that our show, Out the Box, is going to be sponsored by the South African Jewish Museum. We simply could not have asked for a more perfect sponsor. The Kaplan-Kushlik family share a belief that we hold deeply on Out the Box, that education must be inclusive, ensuring no one is left behind. From me and my incredible Out the Box team, Mukundi, Simpiwe, Vusi, Belinda, and Abby, together with our loyal listeners and the entire Chai FM family who tune in every week, thank you for your incredible generosity and for believing in what we do. Joining me today is the education coordinator at the South African Jewish Museum, Belinda Selakovitz. Belinda manages all the outreach and programming for education in various schools, grades, and levels across South Africa. Welcome, Belinda. It's lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you, Simone. It's lovely to be here.
As the education coordinator of the South African Jewish Museum, why is it so important to ensure that the museum goes beyond simply preserving history?
Well, I think history is a fantastic starting point. We need to preserve it. We need to know where we come from. But what it does is it actually shapes our understanding of the present and inspires us for the future. So a museum display is not just aiming to tell you something about the past, but it actually wants to provide the viewer with an experience where they are somehow affected, or it makes them think about themselves in a different way, or it makes them think about the world in a different way. And maybe in that way, shape the future, shape their responses to experiences that they might have outside of the museum because of what they've learned in the museum.
So you're bringing the past to the visitors and helping them to understand how the past and the present actually will shape who we are today and who our children will become.
Exactly. I think museums, in fact, I think museum culture generally is actually trying not just to be the static preserver of the past, but actually to shape the societies they serve and become more active participants in the societies they serve.
Right. We need to understand and question and carry forward what we've been learning in the past. So,
yes.
One of the most powerful parts of the museum is cultural diversity, is the cultural diversity education program. Can you explain what this program is and what the aim is that you're trying to attain, or the goal?
Definitely I can. I can absolutely do that because this is our passion here. This is our passion. It's our flagship project. We have quite a few different programs, as you know, at the museum. But the cultural diversity program was the first program actually targeted at children that was developed here. And over the years, it has evolved to keep up with museum education trends and just general education trends. And I think it's become something that really does kind of speak to so many different kinds of students and different levels within the range of grade 5 to grade 7. Then when we get to older grades, we've got different programs. And when we get to younger grades, there's different programs. So when I'm talking about the cultural diversity program, I'm talking about that upper primary. And I think that's an important point, because what the cultural diversity education program is doing is it's focusing on children who are old enough to understand topics like discrimination, and also like tolerance, understanding what diversity is. They're old enough to understand that, but they're also young enough to really take in and be influenced by those concepts in a way that it's a bit more difficult once kids are much, much older. Once you get to the teenage years, it's not as easy to really make that impact. Like when we talk about bullying, for example. You know, sometimes with the older kids, they're sort of already rolling their eyes at you and things. But the younger kids are soaking it in, and I think that we can make quite an impact. So the Cultural Diversity Education Program, really, what we do is we bring kids in. We usually have about 60 kids at a time. We divide them into smaller groups because kids learn much better in smaller groups. And we take them through this program where they move between 4 different stations. We do world religions. We do a museum journey where we take them down into our shtetl, and then we pretend we have a journey where they sort of immigrate to South Africa. We show them the journey that the Jewish people took back in the day from Lithuania. They go through the museum and they see all the different parts, the Smoos cart, the apartheid section, our contributions cabinet with all our items in, and learn about the journey. Then we have another station called Prejudice, Stereotypes, Prejudice and Discrimination, where we've got all sorts of interactive games and discussions there. And then we have a station which is called Values, where they discuss personal values. That's where our bullying comes up. And that's where they get a lot of chance to share their own stories and things from their personal lives. And basically the whole point of the program is the message of each station, which comes out differently every time, but the message is respect for each other, appreciate the differences that we have, appreciate cultural differences, but recognize that at the end of the day, we're all human beings, and we all deserve respect and tolerance.
Right, absolutely. And I love that it's so interactive, that they go from station to station, which brings me to the fact that that kind of learning is so important because it's experiential. So you may not experience it as those who were the Samosas, etc., but you're definitely getting a solid idea of what it was all about. And I loved what Mendel said about, I think it was about immigrants coming across over Table Mountain, correct me if I'm wrong, and seeing the view of where they were coming to and the whole of Cape Town and what would be in store for them. I love that idea of taking the children also and explaining to them that you come into this view of the beautiful Cape and things seem so, what's the word, attainable, and the courage that took for them to earn a living, etc. If we go on to, we go on to how children typically respond to the exhibitions and what stands out for you when they're engaging and reacting or reflecting on what they've experienced. Can you speak to that? Can you tell us what you see in the reactions of the children?
Well, it's actually quite remarkable. What happens is kids come in beginning of the day, especially, children that are coming from disadvantaged schools will have this a bit more because they, it's an outing is such a special thing for them and they're kind of overwhelmed. What happens is we often find kids coming in all shy, quiet, looking nervous, not sure what to expect. What is this all about? And as the day goes on, so one of the things that we really, really try hard to do from the beginning is make them feel welcome, make them feel relaxed, not too relaxed that, they get super naughty.
So let's just take a moment, Belinda, to consider this. And I ask everyone out there who's listening, if we don't tell our children the stories, who is going to? Send your questions, your thoughts and suggestions to 061-895-1019 or email simon@chai.co.za.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're with me, Simon, on Out the Box on 101.9 Chai FM. This morning, we're talking to Belinda Selakovits, Education Coordinator of the South African Jewish Museum, not just as a space of memory, but as a place of learning. Belinda, would you like to pick up from what you were speaking about in seeing the reactions of the children coming into the museum?
Yes. So the main thing is we start by relaxing them, making them feel at home, not too relaxed, but just enough that they feel comfortable. And that's one of the reasons why we also divide them into small groups, because I think kids are more likely to be forthcoming if they're not in such a big group. But what is amazing is you can see them starting to open up as they get more comfortable, as they feel more relaxed with their facilitator. They're starting to look around, ask questions. And what I absolutely love is when I'm walking around and I see a facilitator asking a question and there's a whole bunch of hands in the air. Kids are like dying to answer the question and wanting to say things. And then they start sharing their own stories and they're saying what they think. And they'll say, no, but, in our religion, we do this. And in our religion, we do that. And, oh, wow, that's the same. So you actually see this like spark of, oh, wow, yeah, we also do that, or we also celebrate in this way, or we also have a big meal when we've got a big festival. Okay, and they start to see that, there's a lot of things that we share in common. And I love seeing that, and I love seeing them start to laugh and start making jokes and joke with the facilitator. And then at the end of it, my best is the hugs that the kids will run.
You feel like a rock star.
Hugs at the end. Yeah, it's the best. It's the best. They'll come run up and hug you and they say, I wish we could. When are we coming back? I don't want to go home.
That's wonderful.
Because they've had a great time. They've learned a lot. And they've also, they have been treated with a bit of humor and a bit of like fun, not with a boundary, but you can just see that they've totally flowered with the experience.
I think what really stands out for me is that their voices are heard and they are given the chance to really respond to the similarities of their culture with our Jewish culture, as well as the diversity of all the types of people that live in South Africa, which is really, I think, the mandate that Nelson Mandela really wanted to create, was to recognize diversity, but also to be able to accept and love people from all different cultures and walks of life.
Yes, I agree. And that's the message that we give them.
Yes.
At the end, we actually say to them, the point of coming to this program is not that we want you to be like us. We don't want you to change. We're not trying to convert anybody. We're not trying to say that we all need to be like one. We're trying to say that we are different and we love this. And it's just to embrace it, appreciate it, see what's the same, see what's different, and enjoy the differences and respect them.
So important.
That's it.
So when we speak about this, it takes me to the question of, is the learning just through the Jewish lens, or are you teaching universal lessons, which I think you've actually answered, but how do you join the learning through the Jewish ideas and views, and then the universal, taking it to the universal lessons that children can learn from this?
I think the museum is really good at doing that, actually, because the displays in the museum open up those conversations for us already. Because if you take children into the shtetl and you're showing them how people lived before they immigrated, those little villages can be equated to lots of little, small, not very wealthy villages all over the world and in South Africa. So you can already start making parallels. So you're telling the Jewish story, you're explaining, this is where our people came from. And I often say to children when I'm taking children around, my grandfather lived in a place like this. Mm. This is where my grandpa came from. And they're like, oh, wow, like you actually know somebody who lived in a place like this. So there's already a Jewish story coming out, and my grandpa came here, and this is how he got here, and he met my granny, and, we make it quite personal.
Yes.
So we tell the story of our family and our family members, how they met, and make it really personal with us. And also by telling them we're going on a journey, making them pretend to be immigrants themselves. So we'll say to them, right, guys, pack your suitcases, pretend. You're Jewish immigrants. You are now leaving to go on a boat to South Africa. How do you feel leaving your home? How would you feel now? So we try to equate all these stories and all these concepts to their lives today. So we'll say to them, how would you feel if you had to leave your home tomorrow with a little suitcase? What would you put in it? Who would you miss the most? How would you feel traveling? So we are already making it universal just by talking about that. So the Jewish experience becomes something more personal and relatable to them.
And meaningful. I think that's the most important thing by asking those questions, are looking at their previous knowledge of their own backgrounds and bringing it to the table.
Exactly. And also with the arrival, once we get to the docks, and that reminds me of what you said earlier about Mendel Kaplan talking about the view and coming over Table Mountain, we do that as well. So we get to the docks with the pretend suitcases.
Yes.
Now they're the immigrants arriving, and we will show them that view, and we'll say, this is the view that the immigrants saw when they arrived. This is the first view they had of Cape Town. How do you feel looking out at this view? How would you feel coming new? And then we also kind of turn it into how do you think people in Cape Town reacted to new people coming? And we also then bring up this conversation of how do you react, or how do you treat new people coming to your school? So it's also trying to make a connection between the idea of them being new,
yes,
but then to try and create some empathy in them for foreigners who might be coming into their communities and their schools. And
right.
So we have those conversations as well.
very important to develop or help children to develop empathy for others. Yes. I see that the numbers are quite remarkable. You know, I saw that from primary school learners that visit each year, you get like 7,500 to 8,000 learners visiting. How do you get the how do you get the reach? How do you get the schools to come into the museum?
There are a number of ways. Some of the schools are established, they're regulars. In fact, interestingly, last year was the first year, and I've been here for 9 years already. Last year was the first year that in November already I had a whole slew of bookings for this year, and I was almost booked up until June before the year ended last year, which normally hasn't really happened before, but I think it's because a lot of schools didn't get the bookings they wanted the year before. So they all thought, okay, we want to grab our dates now. So as I say, those are the regulars that come back every year with their same grades. And they'll bring their grade sixes every year or their sevens every year. So those ones I always know will get the bookings. And then what I also do is I will reach out to some schools and invite them. So this year I haven't really had much of a chance to reach out to schools because we've been so fully booked with the regulars. But next year I'll do reach for more.
As you listen to this discussion, ask yourself what feels familiar and what is challenging to you to think differently. WhatsApp us on 061 895 1019 or send your messages, concerns, feelings, ideas, suggestions to simon@chai.co.za. You spoke about your type of outreach and then you were moving in, I think, to the older children and how you get the schools to come in. I know that you said that you're so fully booked already up until June, which is remarkable.
Yes, we are fully. In fact, now we're fully booked until September. We have got some bookings available in October now, but up until the September school holidays, I'm booked now. And so what I was going to say is we get a lot of primary schools, but I'm getting more and more bookings from high schools. And so what's really nice about that is we can do some combination programs with the Holocaust Center, because that's another area that I think is worth developing more is when schools come and they're in high school age and they're studying the Holocaust, to be able to contextualize it by learning a little bit more about the Jewish culture, the religion, just getting a bit more of a holistic view of who the targets of the Holocaust were. Those schools that approach me for tours, sometimes they only have time to come just to the Jewish Museum, or if they're wanting a longer program. But I do encourage them to include a visit to the Holocaust Center as well. So we're doing quite a few more of those combination programs with the Holocaust Center.
I think that's so important, especially when we're looking at the anti-Semitism that is like wildfire in the world today. Mm-hmm. Giving the children an idea of what the late 1930s and 1940s were like for Jews in Eastern Europe and Germany, and not comparing, but I think finding some kind of similarity of what is going on in the world today and helping them to understand what anti-Semitism is and where it comes from. You know, if you look overseas and you look at the universities, when they're interviewed, they don't actually understand what they are protesting against very often, and they can't separate anti-Semitism, or they want to separate anti-Semitism and Zionism. Does that come into your discussions with high school children?
Not so much with mine. It may come into discussions at the Holocaust Center, but we tend to focus more on. It did actually come a little bit into a discussion that I had with some American students that we had. We had a group of American high school students. But usually when children are doing our program, it doesn't come up as much as it might come up in the Holocaust Center, because we're talking more culturally in the Jewish Museum. We're showing the history. We're explaining our traditions, our festivals, and the history. So it's not really the space for it. But the Holocaust Center might get more of that kind of question.
I also saw on the research that you sent me that it was curriculum-based in terms of LO and being a project. Can you speak more about that within the education system itself? Is it part of the curriculum?
Well, yes. So our program, our cultural diversity program, definitely supports the life orientation curriculum. We are, especially with regards to the area of religious dignity, there's a whole section of that, and it's specifically with grade six, but I think also grade seven and five. So it's about tolerance and learning about world religions, which is why we have a section on world religions where the learners actually have, we have artifacts from six different religions.
Wow.
We do Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, African traditional religion, and Hinduism. And that also covers the life orientation area of that. Also personal values, that's also discussed in life orientation for those grades. And prejudice and discrimination also covers life orientation. But our creative writing program, we developed that because some schools who brought repeat learners, you know, right, the learners that had already done the creative writing, the cultural diversity program, wanted, yes, to come back, or the schools wanted to bring them back again.
Yes.
And so we thought, you know what, let's develop something that actually helps with the English curriculum. And that's where we've gone to creative writing program, which is still through the Jewish lens and through the museum, but it's dealing with the English curriculum, supporting the English curriculum.
Right. Let me ask all of you out there to think about whether your children know their own story and your family story, or are those stories slowly being lost because we're not speaking enough about them? Excuse me, or teaching our children about our Jewish past and our history. Please send your WhatsApps to 061-895-1019 or email me on simon@chai.co.za.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to Out the Box on Chai FM 101.9, where we are talking about the South African Jewish Museum and the incredible impact that they have using their education programs to educate children across South Africa. I love what you were saying previously, Belinda, about skills that are being developed through these programs. And this is a passion of mine that I have in terms of how we need to develop critical thinking, empathy, communication, writing and speaking skills. And you were alluding to the English skills as well, paragraph writing, dialogue, oral presentation. So it's both academic and deeply personal. And I just want to ask the listeners, if you did not hear the last two episodes with Dr. Tali Frankel, we discussed comprehension and text management. And she really emphasizes the importance of children bringing their background knowledge into their learning so that it makes it meaningful. And I think that this type of learning, which is so multisensory, is vital for our children being able to answer questions from a text because it's experiential. Let's move on to your multisensory program. And I love that it is multisensory and inclusive. Can you speak to that?
Definitely, because it's been one of the things that I've focused a lot on lately, because I had a good long look at the program a few years ago. And I felt that it wasn't interactive enough and it wasn't multisensory enough. And it's almost a waste to have this opportunity to be out of the classroom. And not that it wasn't experiential, of course, just being in a museum is already experiential, but there was more that we could do to really engage all of the senses and to get the children thinking on different levels. And so what we've incorporated is a lot more small group activity. We've incorporated a lot of pair work. So the kids are doing they do these memory challenges in pairs where they've got to find answers in the museum on their own. So we let them go on their own with no person telling them where and what to do. And they absolutely love that. They've got to find the answers.
Yes.
We do role plays. We let them dress up in old clothes in the shtetl. The role plays are actually very important. They're especially in primary school. They really love that. We give them a chance to we also do like a fun sentence game where we read out a sentence and they've got to decide whether it's an example of a stereotype or prejudice or discrimination, and they've got to run to the different cards.
So
they've got to think and move.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, and also we've got items. We've got a touch table full of items that they get to handle, and that's very important. Object-based learning is a very important part of being in a museum because it's full of objects.
Right, obviously. And you're not saying don't touch.
Exactly,
with
those items,
marks.
We're not saying,
right.
Yes, yeah, hands behind your back, etc.
Yeah.
These are particular items. You are allowed to touch them and handle them and play with them. And but not just, it's not about just, we hold up the item, this is this, and you tell them what it is.
Mm.
They've got to hold it, and we can say to them, what do you think this is? What is it used for? So they've got to actually think, try and work out the answer by looking at the object. So slow it all down. Don't just tell them the information, but get them to tell you the information. You've got to elicit the information.
Yeah.
And that's really part of that is a multi-sensory thing. They've got to touch, they've
exactly.
got to feel, they've got to listen, they've got to think. And I think that is a huge, huge advantage of taking children on an outing outside of the classroom, is that they are learning in a completely different way. And so you've got to do it in as many different ways as possible. Quizzes, we do lots of quizzes where they've got to come up with the answer. Memory games, they've got to close their eyes, take an item away, they've got to tell you what's missing.
You really are covering all the bases, Belinda. The visual, the auditory, the tactile, the kinesthetic. You really are incorporating all of that into their learning, which is truly amazing. I also read that there was a way for you to include deaf and blind children. Is it
deaf it's in the process, because there's not as much that we could, we need to get more things captioned. Deaf children could read the captions and see everything, but it would be difficult for them to participate in the program as it is now.
Yes.
We do have a program for blind children. We've got we do get visits from Athlone School for the Blind and other blind groups. We've had those visits, and we've got a program there which involves a tasting table, and we do a Shabbat table for them where they get to taste things and they get to learn, and they do a tour through the museum. So that is actually a nice tour because they also get to handle the objects.
Yeah.
And get told about the objects. Deaf adults is a different thing, because obviously they would be able to read and see the captions. I'm not sure about our movies. I can't remember if they've got captions or not. But children, yeah, that's something that we would need to work on.
Yeah, even bringing in from the school, I suppose, a person who will sign as you go along in the lesson. I'm sure that it will in the...
Well, that probably, if we got a request from, if we got a request from a school with deaf children, they would probably bring a person to sign, and then we could do most of the program, actually.
Yes.
We'd be able to do it.
Yes, I think that would be really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go into asking, a more difficult type of question that I guess would be aimed at your high school children, and speaking about immigrants and refugees. And the difference between them, how Jews came as immigrants to South Africa, and the difference of when they were running away during the war. The current situation that we sit with is really global.
Mm.
Does the facilitator encourage and guide carefully, because it would need to be carefully guided, conversations like this? Or does that only happen, as you said, in the Holocaust Center?
No, it would happen here, and I'll tell you when it did happen. It doesn't happen as a sort of a general, because there isn't always time to fit in every kind of conversation. So we would normally, with high schools, just given the way our museum is laid out and the kinds of exhibits that we have, it kind of brings up more the concept of xenophobia and whether an immigrant is a refugee or an economic migrant or an immigrant. It's not really as relevant as it might be in the Holocaust Center or another kind of museum. We would then rather more talk about the reaction of the existing communities to those people. So it more comes up in concept of xenophobia as opposed to the type of immigrant.
Very, very interesting. You're listening to Out the Box on Chai FM 101.9, and we are going on a tour of the South African Jewish Museum with the education coordinator, Belinda Selakovitz.
Chai FM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome back to Chai FM 101.9. I'm Simone, and you're listening to Out the Box. We're exploring the South African Jewish Museum with Belinda Selakovitz. Belinda, can you tell us which exhibitions, just give us an idea of the exhibitions that you include in your education program?
So we use all our permanent exhibits. And so we focus a lot on the shtetl as an example of Jewish life before immigrating to South Africa. We focus a lot on our items in our cabinets, and which is in our old shul. So we've got the old synagogue with all the items there, so that we show the Jewish life, Jewish religious artifacts, things that we use in our festivals. We use that to explain our cycle, you know, the Jewish yearly
yes.
cycle. And then, of course, all our touchable items, we use those. And if there is a temporary, and of course, the rest of the exhibits in the museum, for example, we've got our Max Rose video, which tells the story of Max Rose, the ostrich king. We like to talk about him as an example of an immigrant
yes.
who came and you know, where he settled and what he did. And then,
the
of course, the
that he
apartheid.
Made.
Exactly, yeah. The impact that he made. If we had time, we would show this some of the videos. We do, with our creative writing program, we also do a section on District 6.
Mm.
And we talk about how the early Jews settled in District 6, and we tell the story of District 6, which I think is a very good way to bridge the different cultures and the stories of how cultures blended together in Cape Town, because we talk about early Jews living in District 6. We then tell the story of District 6, and many of our students have got family connections or have got grandparents who grew up in District 6. Not all, but many. And so we ask them to tell us things that they've heard about their family stories of District 6. And so it's a very good way to bridge gaps between the stories of the different cultures.
I do love that exhibition. I love that. I mean, I have seen the exhibition of District 6. And when I saw the musical, the David Cramer, Tully Peterson musical, the story of District 6, gosh, it's really remained with me. And it made the story come alive. When I just speak about it, I can see different parts of the musical and hear the music in my head. It really speaks to the importance of that multisensory learning and the effect that it has on children. You know, we cannot underestimate the things that you are doing in the museum, as well as seeing musicals. I wish it would come back, that District 6 musical.
Yes, absolutely. Well, actually, what we try to do is the facilitators who can, they will play them songs that they find from, I mean, because it's a bit difficult when you're moving around the museum to be too technologically brilliant, because
yes.
we're moving all the time. So they do rely a bit on their phones for that, but they always find songs to like play District 6 style music with the jazz that grew out of District 6 back in the day. And we show them photographs and we get them to compare. This is actually a very nice activity where we get them to compare old photographs of District 6 to current photographs of District 6. And before we even start the story, we ask them, what do you think has happened? You know, what's going on in this picture? What's going on in this picture? They've got to give us their comparison. So we're using visuals there as well for that activity. So it is quite immersive.
So a part
and music. We use the pictures and the music.
Yes. A part of that musical that stood out for me, and I'm sure that you are using it in your program, that there were Jews living side by side, the colored people and the black people, etc., in District 6, so that the children actually get an idea of how diverse District 6 really was.
Yeah, we definitely do. We bring that into the beginning story, and we actually have a whole lot of quotes that I found that are mostly by previous residents of District 6, most of whom are colored or Muslim residents, giving their memories of District 6, where they mention that all the different religions, Christians, Jews, Muslims, lived together and how they were all in and out of each other's homes. And then we've also got our own panels that we bring out to show the kids, which is the memories of the Jewish immigrants living there and how they felt and how they were looked after by the people of District 6 when they were growing up. So it does give the kids a really good idea of that community.
Belinda, you know, I could carry on for hours and hours because it is just so interesting. Today really reminded us of something, you know, so powerful that the museum is doing. They're educating. They're not just imparting knowledge by speaking at children. You are getting them to learn actively and to engage with what is available in the museum. And when a child understands their story and others in the same kind of situation, in the same story, they tend to actually stand stronger together. There's an empathy that develops.
Definitely.
I always love to ask our guests, what is your wish for children who visit the museum to take home? What would you like them to discuss around their dinner table after they've visited the Jewish Museum?
I think two things. I want them to come, especially the kids that I see who are the most shy or the most, I want them to go home feeling confident about themselves and how they, what they learned, that they learned something new, they understood something new. And that they spoke up and that they took part and that they had a great day and that it was something good and positive for them. So definitely that. And then the second thing I want them to go home with is thinking, you know, I've met somebody, because I'm mostly assuming the children who come here who are not from Jewish schools do not know that much about Jewish people. Mm. They haven't really interacted with many Jewish people before, which is usually the case. Mm. And I'd like them to go home thinking, I had a great day with these people that I didn't know, a culture that I've maybe heard about a little bit, maybe not much, maybe had a funny idea about, but actually they're great people. I had a great day with them, and they're not that different from me. And I want them to go home thinking, let's just band together and live together and respect each other and love each other and just love other people, you know, with an open heart.
Thank you, Belinda, for everything that you are doing and everything that the South African Jewish Museum are doing in order to educate our children and adults visiting the South African Jewish Museum. Nelson Mandela reminded us that education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. And I truly believe that you and your team at the museum are doing exactly that. Because it's not just history, as you said, it's education that shapes how we see each other. I'm going to end with a song that I just love. It's from The Heart of District 6, the musical, by Johnny and Vivian, who are performing it. And of course, District 6 was written by David Cromer and Talib Peterson. It's the Klop Klop song from David Kramer and Talib, and it really just lifts, you know, lifts my spirits and my soul. Thank you, Belinda. We are so grateful for all that you do. And please continue, because it's a never-ending journey.
That it is. Thank you, Simone. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye. Bye.